God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come before you, asking you right now, in the name of Jesus, God, to bless this service on today, this live stream, oh God, giving you praise and glory for everything that you have done for us, oh God. God, we just thank you right now that, God, that you declared in your word, oh God, that you're going to perfect what is in us, oh God. God, those that are watching on today, wherever they may be, oh God, give them the boldness and the strength, oh God, to do what you have to do, oh God. God, we know that we declare victory in every areas of our lives, oh God. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you right now, oh God, those, God, that are watching right now, we ask you to bless them right now. In the name of Jesus, oh God, whatever area in their life that they need, oh God, meet them right now. In the name of Jesus, oh God. Father God, we just ask you right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, things that are in us that are not like you, oh God, we ask you right now to remove it right now. In the name of Jesus, oh God. God, create in us a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit in us right now. In the name of Jesus, oh God. God, we just ask you right now, oh God, the man that's going to bring the word on today, oh God, bless him, oh God, from the top of his head, from the crown of to the sole of his feet, oh God. God, we just ask you that we have our hearts and our minds open to the word that you have for us on today, oh God. God, I just ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God, God, to be with us, show yourself strong in this live stream on today, in the name of Jesus, and we declare that it is done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And now I introduce to you right now the bishop of this house, Bishop D.A. Hirth. As we get ready to bring this great man of God that's going to bring the word on today, we just ask you just to have service in your home. Even though that we're not in a building, the building is in you. Just open your heart, sing praises to God. Be open unto him. Amen. Amen.
God bless you. God bless you. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah.
As I look back over my life, I can see how your love has guided me. Even though I've done wrong, you never left me alone. You forgave me, and you kept on blessing. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It's because of your mercies that we are not consumed, because thy compassion fails not every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. As I look back over my life, hallelujah, I can see how your love has guided me. Even though I've done wrong, you never left me alone. You forgave me, and you kept on blessing. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It's because of your mercies we are not consumed, because thy compassion fails not every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. Listen, I could never repay you, Lord, for what you've done for me. How you loose my shackles and you set me free. How you made a way out of no way. Been my joy in the time of sorrow. Hope for my tomorrow. Peace. You've been. Come on and put your hands together. Been you, yeah. Listen here, city. I could never repay you, Lord, for what you've done for me. how you made. Been my joy in the time of hope. Peace in the time of storm. Strength when I'm weak and worn.
Jesus, I say again to you, God bless you, and good morning in the spirit of Christ to everyone that have assembled in this place. For truly our God is a great God, and your response would be yes, he is. I said our God is a great God, and your response is yes, he is. Not some of the time, but all of the time. We serve an awesome, a tremendous, a mighty, and a holy God. Hallelujah. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I say to all of our guests that are here in our limited assembly that we have here at Nations Harvest, and our rather expansive and larger assembly that is together with us this morning online. Amen. On last week, as I looked at the analytics, we made it to three countries and some 90-some cities. Hallelujah. I have no idea where the Lord let his word flow to on last week or each week that we're here, but truly, I know that the word of truth is going forth, and I thank God for the opportunity to be able in time like these to stay connected in disconnected times. And I want to let you know also, but that not only on Sundays at 10 a.m., but throughout the week, we are staying connected. Amen. In these disconnected times. And I hope you stay connected with us throughout the week. You can download the app in your Play Store, in the iTunes Store. It is D.A. Hearth app. In the Play Store or the iTunes Store. Now, this gives you a one-button opportunity to get there without having to enter addresses in browsers and remember web addresses and so forth. Once you get that app, everything then is just one touch. We started and launched this week what is called In Touch. In Touch. And that is going to be our endeavor to bring throughout the week more inspiration. All it requires is your email, and I've had our media staff to make sure that they put in there somewhere, however you say it, in a correct manner, we will not bombard you with emails. I just don't know where junk email come from. Now I'm getting it in the mailbox, and in my traditional mailbox at home, and then I get it in my email, not to mention all those phone calls I get all week long. If I had the money that they called and offered me on spam calls, I don't know where I'd be. I'd probably have my own island somewhere, because they've offered me everything from cheap life insurance to car insurance, and I won this and I won that. We won't bombard you with that, but just give us your email address. Register in our online platform. And also throughout the week, you can, if you have an iPhone, we have the iTunes podcast. It's not always convenient to look, but while you're working, you can listen to the podcast. That's as well on iTunes at DA Hearth. Roku channel, all of you who have Roku streaming devices, you can download the app on Roku. And of course, there we're not yet recording in 4K. Streaming in 4K, but you can get some real good 1080. Hallelujah. Some high definition, me. Be able to see all right in here. And so get up close and personal. God, did you see the look on his face when he was expressing that part? And man, and I go back and I look, so I don't know how y'all look at me. I can't look at me. I just turn me on and listen. I don't want to look at me. And I tell my, you know, my daughter is, she chiefs part of the production team, and she's very critical about things. I tell her, baby, say, don't be close when I take a sip of water. I don't want people to see my Adam's apple going up and down. So she said, Dad, give me a cue when you're getting ready to drink. So I'm going to get ready to take a sip right now so y'all zoom out and so the people don't see my Adam's apple going up and down. Also on Facebook, Instagram, and all of your social medias, we just want to stay connected. Amen. We are not trying to be popular. We just want to stay connected. Hallelujah. Clap your hands in this place and give God some praise. We're expressing our heartfelt condolences to the Sharpley family this morning. A anchor of this city, very prominent businessman, entrepreneur, philanthropist, a friend, a husband, a dad, a cousin, an uncle, George G.W. Sharpley, made his connection with the Lord. Amen. He was en route and he made his connection. Amen. We all going to make that connecting flight. Amen. And he made his connection. But he served this people. He served this community. He served this city. He served this family. And you talking about being missed, words will not express. Amen. Amen. We know GW because everybody had a good joke. Nobody wanted, out of all the people you called for a ride, you didn't want to call. Why didn't you want to call GW for a ride? Nobody wanted to call the funeral home man for a ride. But I walked before I asked you for a ride. Amen. Oh, we had jokes. I told him every time he see me, I ain't seen you in a long time. That's good. Amen. Amen. GW, you're going to be missed. And we are expressing our love for his daughters, his children that have to go through this at times. So we're keeping them in prayer. Amen. God bless you all. I read a quote through the week as I'm getting ready to get to the Word of God today. And the quote said that I meet the best people, but they are always far away. And I pondered that quote. Didn't argue it too much, but I was able to quote myself that I meet the best people too, but they are close. I meet good people every day. Some I get their names, and others it's just in passing, checking out at the place of payment. I meet good people, some with my job. And I think the reason, as I said, that I said, well, why do I meet so many good people that are close? It's because when I meet people, I give them the opportunity to tell their own story. Because the closer you are to people, the more you're going to hear history, which is a story that is told about someone from the thoughts and the mind of someone else. History says his story. But I give people an opportunity to tell their story. Because if you let other people tell your story, they'll make the genre of your story a horror. They'll make it a thriller, a psychological thriller. When if you tell your own story, it'll be something that is either a comedy, an action, an adventure, or even a mystery. And when I listen to you tell your own story, it gives me a chance to appreciate, exactly who you are and not be shrouded by the story that's been told by others, who is just basically their opinion of who you are. So what I would recommend everyone to do is don't let the stories that others have told be the story. Tell your own story. Amen. Tell your own story. Amen. And that takes me to where we're going to rest today in this message, and that is that I find it interesting that historically, and the historical account of Jesus Christ is told by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are considered the Gospels. And of course, those who have sat around my instruction and teaching, Romans is the philosophical account that tells exactly why Jesus, who lived in Bethlehem, born of the Virgin Mary, healed blind Bartimaeus and gave sight to the blind, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. The book of Romans gospel tell us how he saved us through reconciliation, justification, perpetuation, and all of the mechanical elements of my salvation. Because I have to be accountable not only with saying I'm saved, but when it comes to spiritual warfare, I'm going to have to get in the devil's face. And I can't just say Jesus shed blood for me, but I'm going to have to let him know I have a knowledge of my salvation. I know that when it comes to the legalities of you saying that I have sinned, that I can explain to you, yes, but God, who is the only justice one, the justice giver, has made my righteousness, not my own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Which is found in the grace of God. So and so on. So what I learned to do better, and probably should have been doing all along, is instead of just listening to what the gospels say about Christ, I look at what he is doing, and I permit Jesus to tell me his own story. He tells his story not only in words, but in his actions. And if you listen to what Jesus does, I didn't say what he says, but if you listen to what he does with the mind's ear to hear what he's doing, I believe that you will have a better relationship with Jesus and discover that he is the best person that ever lived. Can you say amen? Yeah, you may not have met him in his physicality, but to know him in his spirit is to permit him to tell his own story. You may be seated in the presence of God as you are dealing with many battles. Jesus too had to deal with battles, and that's where we're going to zero in this morning, on him telling the story of his own battle. We encounter battles, yes we do. Battles make wars. And the Greek word we wrestle, in its root, the word is defined as not physical, but an entangling that confines or restrict. Even in our contemporary times, wrestling is not a stick and move. It's not a fly like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Wrestling is all about the technique of placing the opponent in a hole that restricts them from continuing. I submit that. So when we wrestle, it's more than just having the ability to throw a good punch. You have to have the skill and the technique of being able to size your opponent up and keep him at bay. I'm going to ask you to come now to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 18. I'm going to read a bit there. And then I'm going to go to Luke, chapter 22, and I'm going to read a bit there. And then we're going to just permit the Spirit to take us to a mountain episode. In John chapter 18, beginning at verse number 29, Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to thee, Pilate." Pilate responds by saying, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." Isn't it amazing how people can so easily get others to do their dirty work? That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. But while you're trying to do dirt, you're actually fulfilling prophecy. Verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and he called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and their chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here." Now let's move over to Luke 22, beginning at verse number 39. And he, Jesus, came out, and he went as he wanted to go, and he went to the Mount of Olives by choice. With him went his disciples, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. Count with me, that's the first time he leaves them. And he kneeled down and he prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but let thy will be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Say that again, verse number 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come back to his disciples, there's a second time, he found them sleeping from sorrow, and said unto them, "Why sleep ye? Arise, pray, lest ye fall into temptation." Of course, in the Gospel of Matthew, there are three occasions where he goes back to check on his disciples. But him being in agony, in verse number 44, he prayed even more earnestly. And he prayed so intensely. And the intensity of his prayer became so great that his sweat was as drips of blood that fell and hit the ground. I want to talk to you today from this topic, the defining battle. The defining battles. Jesus have had a number of battles, but this battle is the defining battle. He has had a battle against those in his own city. He has had a battle against against the Pharisees. He has had battles against the Sadducees, battles against the schisms and the isms, the politics. He has had a battle against the systematic way of people in their own prejudice. Systemically, he has had to deal with ideologies and perceptions of him as they judged him based on his statement of who he is and what he has come to do. But this battle is the defining battle. I open by saying, anytime any of us go through a crisis, anybody who's around you, anyone who is close to you, is in a crisis too. Anytime. It's interesting that you can evaluate your friends by their reaction to the crisis that you're in. You can evaluate your mate by the crisis that you're in. You can evaluate the people that are around you by the crisis that you're in. And you evaluate them by how they react to what you're going through. Jesus' judgment put everyone around him on judgment. If Jesus had not been incarcerated or pulled into a situation or crisis where he's being judged, then Peter would not have been tested. But as a result of Jesus being judged, Peter now is being judged. Because Jesus said to Peter, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me thrice. Jesus' judgment put Peter on judgment. Herod is on judgment because Jesus is on judgment. Now that Jesus is incarcerated, everybody's looking to see what Herod is going to do about the crisis that Jesus has to endure. The foundation, the substratum of our mountaintop message today is this in a single phrase. When you go through a crisis and when you're judged, your judgment will systematically judge others. Whatever you're having to deal with, our people are judging you based on how you deal with it, they're being judged also. And finally, at the end of your judgment, God, looking at the full scope of things at a bigger picture, he's going to let you know that while you're being judged, others are being judged, but what I'm going to let you see at the end of all of this judging is who's with you and who's against you. How you respond to my crisis is going to conclude with one of two things. Either you're with me or you are against me. Because while everything is going everybody's way, you can't really tell who's who. As long as you got money, as long as you're whining people, as long as you're dining people, everybody good with you. But as soon as funds get low, as soon as troubles start to rise in your life, people will start judging you. And what God is doing while you're going through the crisis is, if you would really pay close attention, he's going to show you now
while you X them out, you should have kept them. This is who you should have been getting rid of. I'm here to tell you, God is putting you through a crisis right now. Every one of us that are hearing, all that have inclined their ear to this message, you need to know that God is putting you through a crisis right now. Has nothing to do with your career choice, your family, your financial state. God is putting you through a crisis right now, not to destroy you, but simply for you to find out who's with you and who's against you. You must realize that before the end come, there has to be a separation. When it's all said and done, somebody's going to be going to the left and somebody's going to be going to the right, and I'm not talking about the Democrats or the Republicans. Some are going to be standing on God's side, while others are going to be on the devil's side. There has to be a separation. And I think I told you on last week or some time ago that you have to be careful when you start making your circle and to permit God to determine exactly how wide of a diameter that your circle is. Let him do the setting of your inner circle and your exterior, but permit him to be the one who be the one that chooses those that are on the interior and those that are on the exterior. Jesus is facing the greatest challenge of his existence right now. Why? Because he's facing Calvary. And everything is in motion to lead him to Calvary. But Jesus' victory was won before he encountered Calvary. I'm going to say that again. Jesus' victory was won before he arrived at what you call Golgotha's Hill in the Greek. Why? Because his greatest struggle was not in front of Pontius Pilate. His greatest battle was not in front of Herod. His greatest struggle was not bearing a wooden cross, but Jesus' greatest struggle was when he was with himself in the garden called Gethsemane. No matter how divine he is, no matter how much God he is, and he is always as much divine as he is human. Are you hearing me here? His greatest struggle was when he was by himself in Gethsemane. No matter how much God he is in Gethsemane, he is still in the flesh. And I'm learning as I let Jesus tell his story and I see him going to Gethsemane, I can hear him doing just this. And that's why I learned from, no matter how wonderful a person you are, as long as you are in the flesh, there is the propensity for you to go askew. When I see the natural makeup of my Savior, it tells me that no matter how close you are to God, the flesh is never going to give way to the presence of God. Y'all ain't gonna work with me, so I'm finna work you for a minute. I hear you saying amen. I see you looking at me. But where is your mind for real? Better yet, let me go ahead and challenge you so you'll listen closer to me. Who is your mind really on? If you don't watch yourself, I'm going to look in your face and see exactly what your night was all about. The reality of your night does not agree with the fragrance of your perfume. You smell good, but really, when I think about what your flesh took you through. Hello, somebody. You've been through a battle, some of you all, for the last 2 or 3 days. Mm-hmm. No matter how much God is in you, and as in Jesus Christ, he is still in the flesh. And I'm learning that no matter how wonderful that I am, I always have the propensity to get off course. Mm-hmm. That's why the scripture says, have no confidence in the flesh. Amen. I've learned something in life that the more than anything that I've learned before, and I probably should have learned it all my life, I never knew how contrary that I can be until I met the Lord. I never knew how deep-seated certain things are that is in me and how badly I wanted to do stuff until I met God. You see, it is in meeting God that I found out that I really didn't have the power that I thought I had. Let me help somebody here. I don't know if anybody ever tried to quit smoking. I don't know if you've ever tried to quit drinking. But if you have, you will agree with me. You don't really have the power that you thought that you had over yourself. Mm-hmm. Because out of all of your desire and want to quit, it seems like your flesh always got the upper hand. Now that God asked me to do certain things, it's not what I want to quit, but it's what God has required of me to set aside. Now God asked me to do certain things, and I find that even though I know it's the right thing to do, there is something in me that fights against what I know that is right and the right thing to do. Now, God, what you're asking me is not a hard thing, but I just don't find it easy to get it done. Can you say amen? I would have felt really bad about the idea that I couldn't do immediately the things that God required of me to do. You see, my transformation and my perfection is a part of a process. I know we got some saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized folk in here. I know you don't ever think about stuff. I know you don't ever do stuff. I know you don't tell lies. I know you don't overeat. I know you saved and sanctimonious. But I live in the real world. Sometime I have to call my thoughts back into a holy place. Because you see, my thoughts sometimes go, I can't tell you what they are, but I'm just telling you, they can really, 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 really get out. I hope that you can't see, like I said a few minutes ago, if you keep looking like you're looking with that guilty look on your face, you don't have to tell anybody what you did. I can see it written on your face. And I would have felt bad about the idea that I couldn't just subject myself to the authority of the Lord. And I would have concluded that there is no good in me at all. That I'm lost, destined to be condemned in hell. I would have worried about it, Rodney, until I visited Gethsemane. When I went to Gethsemane and I let the Lord tell his own story, I saw something that John, Luke, Matthew, and Mark didn't tell. I see Jesus telling me by his actions that he is in a struggle. I don't hear him saying it, but I see him saying it. I see him in a struggle. He is the one that is ordained from the foundation of the world to fulfill the calling of God, to go to Calvary to save the world. And yet still, as it's impending, when it's imminent that now he's on his way to Calvary to finish the work that he started, the purpose that he has sent, I see him now in Gethsemane, knowing what his assignment is. I see him still in a struggle. Hallelujah now. About whether or not, y'all don't hear him, he should do what the master wants him to do. Now, when I see you, I'm not as moved as I am by seeing Jesus deal with his crisis. Because you see, this is God's son. He is divine. He is holy. He is the righteousness of God. But he gave me a boost of confidence in who he is to me when I saw him at Gethsemane. Why? Because I see my Savior, your Savior, our Savior. I see him in a struggle. Yes, I see him having to deal with in his mind. Am I going to do now what my Father wants me to do? Y'all don't hear it. I have lost many a battle, not in the battle. Y'all not hearing me. But in my mind. I've lost a lot of battles, not while I was in the ring, but I lost them in my mind. Because the issue now here is, can I defeat what I feel in my mind? Y'all not hearing this. Before I execute the action and then be sorry for it later. Stay with me here. You see, God does not disconnect my flesh. He leaves me in my flesh. And the spirit begins to tell my flesh what I need to do according to the word of God. But I found that just having a word from God, I need to see the hands of somebody that get a word from God. You get a word from God, but I found that just having a word from God and having the Spirit of God in me does not make my flesh acquiesce and submit to what God is saying. Because when God says what to do, my flesh backs up. God says, come, but my flesh starts to make its exit. Y'all not hearing me now. So there are times when I'm battling in my mind to decide the action that I'm going to take. Now, if I win the battle in my mind, I don't know where my church is today. If I win the battle in my mind, there are certain actions that I won't take. Y'all didn't hear that. If I win in my mind, then there are things that I won't do. But if I lose the battle in my mind, then that thing that I would not do, that's the thing that I'm going to end up doing. Y'all not hearing me? If I lose the battle in my mind, then I'm already defeated on my way to take an action that I'm going to be sorry for later. Y'all not going to church with me today. I guess I'm going to have to turn up all by myself. Let me put it to you this way. This will help you out. Come on in. Let me get you where the rubber meets the highway. You didn't lose the battle when you got in that person's bed. You lost the battle when you picked up the phone to make the call. You didn't lose the battle when you popped the top. You didn't lose the battle when you pulled out the cork. You didn't lose the battle when you rolled it up. You didn't lose the battle when you made your line straight. You lost the battle when you said in your own mind, I
need some me time. I'm going to relax and I'm going to turn up. I ain't got no church here today because y'all ain't smoking nothing. Y'all ain't drinking nothing. Y'all ain't laying with nobody. I need to talk to some real folk here today. You see, I'm saved by his grace, not by mine. And I'm certainly not concluded by your story about who I am. I know that I'm having to deal with things in a struggle. Y'all not ready for this. Amen. Because you wrestle with it in your mind. Yes, you did. And when you lost the battle in your mind, then the action just flowed according to the defeat. So I'm looking like I'm looking, not because of who I fought with. I'm looking like I'm looking because of what I let go in my mind. Y'all not hearing? Yes. Now you catch yourself at the end, and it's funny, wishing that you could reverse the process. Can I talk to some folk right there? I know y'all sitting out there. I don't know who sung it, but if I could turn back the hands of time, you can't. I got news for you. Get over it. Live with it. It's got your name, and if you didn't give it your name, it looked just like you. Get over it. Y'all feel me here today? I know you may not like the mama. I know you may not like the daddy. But I'm going to tell you, like Michael Jackson, I hate to reference all of these secular singers, but I know that's where all of us coming from. The baby's yours. And don't tell me you fed them long enough to make them look like that. No, you can't feed nobody that much to look that much like you. That's yours. Go ahead and get over it. You can't turn back the hands of time. Do y'all hear me here today? You're wishing now that you could reverse, wishing that you could turn the process around. What's even more interesting now is now that you got lost the battle in your mind, isn't it amazing how after you lose a battle, then your mind want to get up like it's Hercules? Somebody say, what are you talking about? Yeah, after you done did it, then you look back in your mind and say, I'll never do that again. I'll never talk to them again. I got a news flash. It's too late now. It's already been done. The fruit has already come forward. You're strong in your mind now, but tell someone you should have been strong then. I want to talk to some real people in this house. It is in Gethsemane that you notice the agony. But remember, while you're seeing our Savior in agony, I need you to say it with me, agony. I see him in agony. That's what the text said in the Gospel of Luke. He is in agony, right? But is this the same Jesus that I remember a few hours ago when he was in front of Pilate, Herod, and the Sanhedrin Council? He wasn't in agony. But when I tell you, Jesus was cool as a cucumber, I'm telling you, the man was cold. I heard him when they asked him, are you the Savior? Let me put it in our language, whatever you say. I see him being extremely cool. I see him being extremely collective. I see him being in control of everything in front of all of his accusers. But now at Gethsemane, I see the same Jesus in agony. Y'all hear me? Yes, but remember just a few days ago when they were chasing him out of his hometown at Nazareth, they were chasing him with rocks. And I saw him, like a wide receiver, shaking them so bad that they didn't even see him. Y'all don't hear me. But now I see that same joking Jesus. I see him in agony. Y'all don't mind me using this language, do you? I'm trying to paint a picture here. I see him now in Gethsemane, and I see here now that he's at the point of distinction in Gethsemane. And this is a very distinctive moment in Gethsemane because it is a defining moment. Out of all of the sight that he gave to the blind, that's going to be mistaken. That's going to not be understood. That's going to be forgotten. But now what he's doing is extremely distinctive. Y'all don't hear me? Because this is where victory is going to be won in this battle. Y'all don't hear me? Yeah, and I know I'm going to upset all of y'all Sunday school goers. I know I'm about to disturb some of you all who attended the seminaries. You have an MA, a PhD, a BS, an AS, an AP. I don't know, but I'm about to upset your theology. The victory was not won when he hung out on the cross. But come with me where the real victory is in his mind at Gethsemane. Let me talk to y'all, because the battle is not won when you're in the heat of argument. Let me talk to somebody. Husband and wife, the real battle is not when you're calling him that and she's calling you that. But the battle is what went on in your mind before you opened your mouth. Y'all don't hear me? And if God has his way, he would have told you, peace, be still. Oh, Lord. But when you let that thing go through your mind, you had to square off and give them a piece of your mind. You ought not be giving up that much of your mind. A mind is a terrible thing to lose. Can I preach in this house today? It does not happen when you're strapped and ready for war. They got y'all buying all kinds of guns now. You strapped. I see you with your Uzi, your Mac-10. I see you with your 380, your 9. I see you with your 40K. Oh, Lord. But the battle will not happen based on the power of your projectile. But the battle will happen when you get in your mind that you're going to look at me and judge me, and you're going to point that weapon at me. Oh, God, let me help you a little bit. Because if you think that weapon that you got in your pocket and the caliber of your ammunition is going to do anything to me, I got a word for you. No. Oh, Lord, that's what I got in my mind. Yeah, you ready to fill me full of lead, but no weapon. Oh, God, I may end up with an extra hole in my body, but when I tell you no weapon, I mean no weapon. I need somebody to shout right there. I need you to chat it in the chat box and put no weapon. Come on. I know you never chatted before, but I need you to chat right there. No weapon. Let me help you spell it. N-O-W-A-P-O-N. And I need you to make it a capital O and a capital W. Come on. Come on, post it right now. Shout it right now. Now, I need y'all in this house to stand on your feet and declare with me, no weapon. And you tell anybody that's out there, I don't care how you're coming for me, but the Bible says no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Somebody say yeah. But if you want to bless me with a bullet, oh, shucks, you go ahead now. Because what you intend for bad is going to work for my good. Somebody say yeah. Is there anybody here? Oh, you got your boy Holy Ghost. Is there anybody here
You got some wounds and war scars in your body. Let me see your hands today. Have you been through some things? Have you had to deal with some stuff? If you've really been to a battle, come on and wave your hand and say, I got some war scars. I've got some war scars. And the biggest of my scars are not what you can see on the outside, but on the inside. I've had some battles that I've had to endure. Oh, yes. But I've got news for you today. The battle that you're about to get in now is about to be the defining battle. Come on and wave your hand. Give your own self high five. Go ahead and send up a chat emoji. Oh, yeah. It's when you're all by yourself. That's when the big battle is coming. When is it coming? When I'm all by myself. When there ain't nobody around. That I'm going to have to make the decision. What am I going to do about what's before me? Somebody say yes. It's when you're all by yourself that you get manipulative. Oh, yes. It's when you're all by yourself that you get scandalous in your thoughts. Come on and shake yourself loose. Come on and shake the scales off with your saved self. You are manipulative. You're a schemer. You're low down wretched. And you're scandalous. Oh, yes. Oh, let me talk about myself. I'm manipulative. Y'all don't hear me. Oh, yes. It's when I'm all by myself that I play it through my mind. How I'm going to get it done. I don't consult with nobody else. I didn't call you and say, what do you think that I ought to do? I got it all right here. Worked out in my own mind. Clap your hands. Oh, shucks, y'all. The mess of the enemy comes in your mind. And the struggle of what you should do, it starts to press against you. Am I right about it? It's when you're in your mind that you've got to say to yourself, somebody say, what do you say? Say, self, if you don't feed on what's coming from God, you're going to feed on the things of the devil. And if you feed from his table, you're already defeated. Come on, somebody. You want to know how you lost? Let me tell you how you lost. You lost because you lost the battle in your mind. Give me some monitors here. You lost when you lost a battle in your mind. Somebody say, in my mind. In my mind. In my mind. In my mind. If I feed on the things of God, then I'll operate in my spirit. If I operate on the things of God, I can fight a good fight against my flesh. But when I lose in my mind, go ahead and say it. I'm defeated already. Now look at you. You ain't the winner. You're the weakest link. You're the loser. Out of here. You ain't won nothing. But when you let God sit down inside of you, when you let God sit down on you, when you let his spirit, you want to get up, but his spirit, somebody say, sit on me. Sit on me, Lord. Yeah, sit on me, Lord. I hear Jesus saying, here it is now, here it is now, here it is right here, here it is right here in the Bible. If it be possible, let this cup pass me by. That's what he said, y'all. What did he say? If this is the Son of God, if this is God's son, if this is Emmanuel. If this is Yeshua, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Oh yes, he said, now Father, with you all things are possible, and I know that you can do this another way. What is he saying? In his mind, he's saying, God, you fix this thing, but I don't want to do it like that. Do it another way. Even though I'm called to die. Oh yes. Now that's not his holiness. What is that speaking? That's his flesh. The same thing that tells me, go on, do it. Catch this now. It's not like he's just dying for himself. Oh yes. But the decision that he makes is going to affect what happens to me. Am I right about it? Oh yes. If he makes the right decision, I'll have the right to the tree of life. If he makes the wrong decision, in hell, I'll lift up my eyes. I gotta talk to you, you and you. The decision that you make is not just gonna affect you. It's gonna affect your mother, your daddy, your son, and your daughter, your aunt, and your uncle. Give yourself high five and say, it ain't just about me. I'm gonna affect. It's when the devil knows that God has strategically placed you in a position so that he can ultimately bless you. So what the devil does now is, I'm going to work out of my own wicked and evil strategy. And we know that you getting things right in your mind. You ever heard the term, that's when all hell breaks loose? All hell don't break loose when you're fighting, cussing. All hell broke loose when you worked it in your mind and you didn't let God tell, you didn't permit God to let you be with, I ain't got to deal with this. The devil wants to defeat you because he knows if he take you down, then he'll go down. If he takes you down, then they'll go down. If he takes you down, then we'll go down. Stop being so selfish, thinking that you gotta be the winner with your mouth and with the deeds of your flesh. Because the victory is not won. Oh Lord. When you have your way in your flesh, you gotta stand up. I'm still looking for a praising church in here right now. You gotta stand up and you gotta tell the devil, no sir, not this time. The battle that I'm in right now, come on somebody say, the battle that I'm in right now, Jesus is struggling. And in his struggling, it was all inclusive for us. Because he showed me that in the battle in my mind, there is strength in the human will. What did I just say? There is strength in the human will. You see, if you get it down in it, in yourself, that Lord, no matter what, it's my will that you are pleased. Let my will be lost in your will. He had to pray himself into subjection. Are y'all here? He said, nevertheless. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, when my will gets lost in his will, then I can say, nevertheless, not my will, but let thine will be done. It's okay that you don't want to do what God says to do. Did y'all hear what I said?
It's okay that you don't want to do what God is telling you to do. As long as in the end, shucks y'all, you give up to what he wants. And tell God, let thy will be done. When I look back on that, there are a whole lot of things that my mama told me I didn't want to do. Ooh-wee. But there's something about her being my mother and about Harry being my daddy that no matter what I wanted to do, I always ended up not my will, but let thine will be done. I want to help somebody right now. I know that when they said no, you figured out a way to say yes. Don't let me call you out. I don't know whether you went out the window, whether you went out the back door, but when they said no, come on somebody, I went on anyway. Oh yes. That was just one battle. And when you went out and you got there, is there anybody here that discovered why mom and daddy told you not to go? Come on now. Come on, talk about Gary. Oh, yes. But let me show you where the real battle is. Now mama may be gone. She may still be here. And daddy may be gone, or he may still be here. But you're grown now. And you ain't going to hear mama, and you ain't going to hear daddy telling you, you ought not say that. You ought not do that. You ought not go there. But is there anybody with a God in here? Oh, shucks, y'all. That tell you, and you can hear him loud and clear, saying you ought to leave that alone. Woo-wee. The reason this is the defining battle is because when you were a teenager, when you were maybe 20, I don't know, you went on and did it anyhow. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, I figured out a way. I figured out a way to get it done. The difference between then and right now is this defining battle. I'm not trying to figure out a way how to get it done. I'm telling my flesh, that ain't gonna happen today. I know it look good. I know it sound good. Come on, somebody. But let me hear you say it with your mouth. That ain't gonna happen today. Come on, somebody say it. That ain't gonna happen today. Oh, yes. I thought I was through with this. This is not about us. But this is a spiritual thing here. When I see Jesus at Gethsemane, didn't I tell you he didn't battle at Calvary? Oh, yes. Now, I know y'all said, I know it was the blood that saved me. Come on, if you heard that, that's what it was. Wasn't it the blood? And y'all say how he went up the hill. And I see y'all moaning and crying. I see y'all with your ectuses around your neck. I see y'all with your crosses on your wall. I see y'all with your pictures hanging with a crown of thorns on his head. I see y'all with pictures of Simon of Cyrene with the cross on his back. Oh, shucks, y'all. But when you see my Savior going towards that hill, that ain't no battle, y'all. That ain't no battle, because the battle had already been fought. The blood had already been shed. You didn't hear what he did. The Bible says that when he was in Gethsemane, I'm almost finished with y'all, he sweated until his sweat. So that means that when I'm working it out in my mind, I'm shedding blood. I'm shedding blood. I'm shedding blood. Come on in close now. I'm shedding blood. Come on in a little bit closer. The sweat that falls from my face, it ain't gonna save nobody. But the sweat that comes from Don's face tells my flesh, you ain't running nothing here. The God I serve, the God I serve, the God I serve. I'm through with you. I'm finished. Look at somebody and tell them, you better sweat. If you ain't 6 feet, move away a little bit, because I need you to tell somebody, you better sweat. Somebody say sweat equity. Come on, tell them one more time. You better sweat. Husband better tell wife, you better sweat. Wife better tell husband, you better sweat. Stop doing all that with this and start sweating. Come on, somebody. Going through it, working it out in your mind. Somebody say, Lord, I'm going through this because this battle right here. Let me tell y'all something. I don't know. I'm finished. Where am I? I'm 11 minutes old. You done got too old to be fighting anybody with your old self, with my old self. I can't fight nobody. Huh? I done got too old to do that. So I better know now how to submit myself to the will of God right here. You know how you used to push your kids around? They can push back now. Oh, you know, I hear you saying, yeah, I bought you in this world, I'm going to take you out. Young folk got some strategies that you ain't going to even see it coming. I'm sorry. Oh, I know you big, you bad. I got my wolf tickets in with my sons too. But I know for real though. But I know also the power of the mind. They can look at you and want to come become physical with you. But when you done had that real battle and prayed that right prayer, they're going to stand there and they ain't going to be able to move a muscle. I need somebody here to know the power of prayer. They can say, I can pray a prayer that lets you get to my house, to my front door. And right there at my front door, you will lose all memory of why you even came to my address. I got a prayer that'll make you look at me, knowing me all of my life, ring my doorbell, and open the door and say, oh, I came to the wrong house. I got a prayer. Hello, somebody. Is there anybody here that know how to work it out like that now? You know how to work it out. They want us to get all defensive in these days. But we got a prayer to work it out. I'm looking to see each of you here next week. It's been a joy. It's been my pleasure. I know we went over today, but the devil ain't pulling no punches, so we can't pull any either. I want you to clap your hands one more time. If you have and you see it come up in the platform, I want to be saved. I'm seeking salvation. That is a prompt that has been placed there to automatically come into a time of this service to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're not just here for you to hear and look at us and make numbers. We're here for that man might be saved. So that opportunity is granted to you right now, here today. You want to be saved? We have hosts that are there. Miss Tracy, Miss Taffany, Miss Misty. They are there servicing you in the online platform. They are there to pray with you. They are there to answer your questions. Use that. If you want to become a local birthright with Nations Harvest, which means that you want to get an inherent part of what God is doing here in this ministry, you can exercise that too. Local or distant, because we believe that God in His omnipresence can override all of the loss of our local and corporate worship to a kingdom worship. You have that opportunity. It's presented to you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now. Oh.
My Savior, Savior, Savior. I've come to thee. Is there anybody here that feel that today? I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Yeah, every hour I need thee. Oh, 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 bless. Bless me now. Bless me now. Bless me now. Bless me now. I say, I'm not going to come on.
worship be released from your lips tonight. Come on, raise it now. Oh, that's good, y'all. Raise it. Say.